This is Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. I'm your host, Bruce Krentz. It's April 14th, 2022. Wait, did I just say April 14th? It's been a while. No wonder there's so much dust on my phone. And the Rolodex has almost been pushed off the edge of my desk. I gotta make some calls. Take the temperatures of some people around the region, especially now. It's Public Health Week, the first one ever. These are my people. But first, our CEO, Helga Bryant.
Good morning, Helga. You're just down the hall from me, but I thought maybe I would just phone you instead of knocking on the door. Maybe it's a hangover from COVID. We're nervous about seeing people in real life. All we use is Teams. How are you?
I'm good, Bruce. And I did see you walking down the hall, so I have laid eyes on you. So that's
mask,
good.
But mask no, on, it's 6 feet apart. It is,
yeah, that's exactly. But you know, we're just kind of at such an interesting place with the pandemic. We've had the 2 years, and we've been all pumped around that. And you know, public health has certainly claimed fully their Stanley Cup. It was a marathon. It was series after series after series. And you know, this past week we have the first ever annual Public Health Week. So I think public health has really gained that profile in terms of what their role is. And now as we look forward to what's going to come into the future for public health specifically, there's all the sort of, I'm going to say, normal work that public health does. You know, they do things like sexually transmitted and bloodborne infections. They do TB, dog bites, new mom and babe visits, and all that upstream and helpful stuff in the community is so important. And I think the public will now have a better understanding of just the important role that public health plays in healthcare system delivery in Manitoba. So I'm incredibly proud of them and their Stanley Cup that they really did earn during COVID. And now we have a new and a different road in front of us as we get used to this next normal, knowing that we still have COVID around. It's endemic. We only need to look at other provinces to see what's happening with cases. So we might be trying to be done with COVID, but COVID is not done with us. We must continue all of the other normal pre-COVID activities because there are patients and public that are suffering because those needs have not been as well attended to. So a new world we're entering, Bruce, and looking forward to what that's going to look like.
I almost feel more uncertain right now, maybe than at the beginning of the pandemic, because you're right, going back to our other activities to just see our way forward. I don't know if you're seeing that as well, that it still feels like uncertain times, even though we're excited about moving forward.
It will be very tricky. And, you know, we will be, because we're not returning to normal. We have a next normal because we're going to be focusing on backlogs for the next 3 years, I predict, with surgery, with endoscopies, provincially and nationally. And it will be very tricky to not only go back to that, but to ramp up and actually do more of what we used to do while we still have this undercurrent of COVID and it's half brothers and half sisters and its variants all hanging around.
The big messy family tree. Thanks for checking in with me today, Helga.
Thanks for the chat. It's been a while. It felt good to reconnect with you. Thank you.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more. Have a great day.
There's way more to public health, but this is all we've been talking about for a while. And someone who got thrown into it almost more than anyone else is our CDC coordinator in Thompson, Aaron Murphy. Good morning, Aaron.
How's it going?
Excellent. It's Public Health Week right now all across Canada. You got thrown into what I think was one of the craziest, I mean, I guess there's a million crazy COVID journeys that happened out there, but tell me, what was your position right before the pandemic hit and how did that change?
As the communicable disease coordinator, I'd been in the position for about a year. So I was still pretty fresh and then COVID hit and I was in probably over my head at first.
Prior to the pandemic, what would a communicable disease coordinator do? What sort of things did you work on day to day?
Most common would be dog bites, Other communicable diseases might include mumps or, you know, a couple of years ago it was COVID. 5 years ago, probably, there was a mumps outbreak. Anything sort of contagious.
So even if we had measles, chickenpox, all of those things.
Yeah.
And so some of this wasn't new to you doing contact tracing. I'm guessing you had done a little bit of that before.
Yep.
But this was just your old job on speed.
For sure. And I think I'm thankful that COVID was new to everyone. So we were all sort of learning together and I wasn't feeling, you know, left behind or anything.
We had to learn at breakneck speed. The guidelines were changing like what, twice a day?
Oh my gosh. It felt that way.
Like, how did you stay on top of everything?
Long hours, and an obsession with COVID. I don't know. It, you know, I really enjoyed it. I can't say it was a bad experience. So I think because I enjoyed it, I was able to just naturally keep up with what was required. We had quite a team. You know, without our team, I would have been nothing. So I was the coordinator. I sort of overseen the case and contact tracing. Being that I had to keep up with the changes, I kept everybody else up to date and maybe took more of the phone calls with questions from, say, school officials or employers, that type of thing.
From what I saw, it was less one-on-one. If Bruce Krentz called, well, you did take my call when I got COVID.
For sure.
What are a couple memories or what are some of the things that come to your mind? You can't say the chocolate covered almonds because that one's mine. But
yeah.
I think I put on 10 pounds over 6 months. You and I put down a lot of chocolate covered almonds.
Yeah, that's what we lived on. They fueled us. I always think back to when Thompson was first hit, you quote unquote, with multiple cases and just all of us nurses working together after hours. We were in the hallways and in each other's offices. And I just, you know, it might have been 8 or 9 or, you know, maybe even till 10 in the very beginning when we were all trying to figure everything out together. I'll never forget that. Just that team environment, that feeling of a team working together.
Extending that team out to Flin Flon and the Paw too, or the whole rest of the region. Sometimes we don't connect through our work as much as maybe people would think.
Yeah, I was going to say that without COVID, I don't know that we would have ever, I felt like we got to know each other across the region, you know, maybe even not our faces, but definitely our voices and our personalities.
We all know each other's bubbles and initials from Teams meetings.
Yeah, that's right.
Before you ended up in the CDC job, what were some of the other things that you did in public health or what drew you to public health?
I did my senior practicum in public health. So one of our senior public health nurses, Angela Bacco, she was my preceptor. And I've just always been drawn to public health. I love the aspect of health promotion and connecting with communities and the public.
I know you were the public health nurse at Westwood School for a while because my kids talked about you. My son's name is Murphy, so Aaron Murphy.
Yeah.
What are some of the other things that you did?
So general public health is what I started in. I actually started in a Bayline position. So I traveled out to Kitikmeot. That was my assigned community. And then I moved into a, you know, Thompson only public health nurse position where I did have Westwood School, postpartum and baby visits. Over the years, I obtained my international board certification for a lactation consultant. So I was able to help a lot of moms and babies breastfeed for about 9+ years, almost 10 years in general public health. I just decided to try the communicable disease position. And a year after that, it was a global pandemic.
What a time to give it a try.
Yeah.
Is it a bit of a letdown now that the adrenaline is gone? I mean, that was as exciting probably as it's going to get in the CDC position. Maybe not.
You never know. I think we're ready to at least have some sort of break. I don't know. Hopefully it's for good, but we've got a campsite this summer, something that we've not had for years and years. So that's exciting. And I do travel with our family and we've missed that, but we've planned a trip to Thailand. We're going to take our kids to Thailand next year.
Oh, how great is that?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do it.
You put in a lot of hours. You deserve a good trip, but I didn't see that one coming. That's a whopper.
Yeah.
Super fun. All right. Enjoy the lake. I know you guys are mad fishermen too, so I hope that we get a chance to see you out on the water this summer.
For sure.
Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to me.
Awesome. Thanks.
Erin mentioned supporting the nurses across the region as part of her coordinator role. One of those people was Roberta Lynn Cooper Roberts. We all call her Robbie Lynn. She's a public health nurse in Flin Flon. Hi, Robbie Lynn. How are things in Flin Flon today?
Oh, pretty good there, Bruce.
I don't know how long I didn't know what you looked like because we were just bubbles. We've been in lots of different meetings and huddles and all kinds of brainstorming sessions. But what was your role? What didn't you do during COVID?
Well, I started in the testing site at the clinic there, and then I came over to do the contact tracing and notification of cases. And I also helped with vaccination a little bit. So as far as public health, I think I did a lot of the, you know, roles in public health. And I kind of like that. I like diversity. It keeps me hopping.
Which of those three do you think you like? Like, was one better than the other? Were you just happy to get that little bit of change of scenery? When you look back, what was the best part of that?
They all had their pros and cons. I think I liked the contact tracing and notification at the beginning, just because, you know, it was, you could comfort them a little bit. It was pretty scary at the beginning. The part about vaccination I loved was people were really excited to get it at the beginning. And testing, most people were really fearful. Like, they were really scared. So it was more of a, it was more mental grinding, right? On me, like on both of us, obviously, but you had to be on your A game when you were testing because people wanted to kind of be comforted and know exactly what was going to happen. And sometimes that doesn't happen.
Can you remember some situations that were memorable while you were doing that?
Well, Maggie and Tony, where weren't they? They were in a smaller, in one of the communities, and, she asked me to do this one particular family, and there was like, I think, 20 people living in that house. Like, we had to contact trace everybody in that house and get them out of there. And it was just very impactful because you hear it and you know that people are living in this way. And they weren't unhappy or whatever. It was, 20 people is a lot of people to be in one house. I think it was a 3-bedroom house. And so that was impactful for me. So many stories. At the beginning of COVID, there was people... When we were all shut down, people really couldn't see their parents or anything. And they were phoning me from like Winnipeg because we did Winnipeg cases and asking me how to relay a message or how do they relay a message. There's little things like that that's just rewarding because you know you've built a relationship and people, you know, phone you back and ask you if you can help them out. So I think that's important.
It's been super hard work. It's been such long hours, but there are very few people who feel like they've been upset with the last couple of years.
I was really lucky. I had a great team here with Amy and Leah and Katie. You know, we all kind of tried to keep each other afloat. There's days when you just want to, you know, change jobs and go somewhere else. And then there was days when you really felt you had an effect on people, that you made a difference. So
more days where you left feeling good than days when you went outside to drop 10 F-bombs between the office and the car?
I don't know. Some days it was 50-50. I mean, until the vaccination team swang in there and saved the day. But like when we didn't know what was happening, it was kind of, you always thought it was over. You'd be sitting there for a week doing nothing and you thought, oh, COVID's over. And then I was like, psych, it's not. And, it just was very interesting. It was like learning, you know, like you're learning about all this stuff and you just, I don't know, viruses, man.
How did you end up here before the pandemic swept you up?
Well, I actually worked in Thompson for years, Bruce. I don't know if you knew that. I was a primary healthcare nurse in Thompson.
I didn't know that. That is terrific.
There was a little... manager at the time was a manager named Lorraine LaRocque, and we talked to each other and I started public health and I never really left. I started my career in Florida, Bruce. I lived in Florida for 2 years and I came back and it's minus 11 right now. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Do you miss that heat and that environment, or do you like just in the rest of your life that doesn't happen at the PHCC in Flin Flon? Do you miss that at all?
Sometimes. I learned a lot in those, like I did that right from grad because it was kind of, there was no jobs. So I got a friend of mine got $50 to get me a there and I went, and it was a great learning experience, but very different system, right? Yeah. So it was good.
When you're not dreaming about Florida and you're not at work, what happens in Robbie Lynn's life?
I like to watch the Flin Flon Bombers, who are playing tonight against Humboldt, by the way.
They're having a great run right now. Let's hope that can keep up. It's so exciting.
Otherwise, you wouldn't know it. I like weightlifting. Friends, family, you know, the usual. Swearing.
Hey, we made it through all of this without any swearing, so I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah, once in a while I shine, hey?
There is more to talk about with public health and Public Health Week than riding the wave of COVID. I think I'll see if I can get Amber Mitchell, our STBBI coordinator in the PAW, on the line to talk about that. Hi, Amber. How are you?
I'm good, Bruce. You?
I'm pretty good. It's nice to hear your voice again. I'm calling around today, talking to a few people about Public Health Week. How long have you been a nurse in public health?
Since 2018 in public health.
Oh, wow. And what before that? What brought you to public health? And what did you do before you came to us, so to speak?
So I'm working on my 15th year of nursing this year. I initially started on acute care as a floor nurse and then ventured off a little bit into home care coordinator. Went back to acute care to job share when I was raising my two young children, and then brought me back to the public health world. I honestly didn't ever envision myself as a public health nurse, but here I am and loving my job.
Just for people that aren't totally familiar with public health, I guess. So you were in acute care, you were doing sort of what I think we mostly picture nurses do. You were on the floor and there was people in a bed and maybe some of that adrenaline, and it was kind of minute by minute. Public health is a little bit different. What are the pluses and minuses of being over in the public health world?
It's a very different world. So what we're focused on is preventative health, health promotion, and in our job in the STI world, we're all about outreach and meeting the client where they're at, wherever that means. So our at-risk population, our clients with limited resources, isolated communities, so on and so forth.
You went from inside a hospital on a floor to the whole community is now your workspace in some respects.
I am the Western Campus STBBI coordinator for STIs and harm reduction. So it's a huge catchment area all the way from Flin Flon to our provincial nursing station. So Moose Lake, Grand Rapids and Easterville. So big area.
Courtney's your partner over in Thompson. I know.
Yep.
You guys coordinate some of your efforts. Some things are a little different from place to place. Who else is on your team over in the Western Campus? Who do you work with day to day?
We have five public health nurses. So Carmel, Ashlyn, Ken, Shyla, and Lindley are our PHNs here on our program. And in Flin Flon, we have Tara, Leah, Amy, and Sandy. Big, awesome team.
Like everybody else, it took a little bit of a back burner, I guess, during COVID, or it was just harder to do that work. Now, I think you guys have a big hill in front of you.
So you're right. COVID did impact our team. We were slim due to reassignments or outbreaks in communities. So a lot of our regular day-to-day work with our usual home visits, outreach, school visits, were all put on hold. So as you can imagine, the testing numbers were low. So now we are booming again.
Which isn't necessarily a good thing. Give us an idea of maybe one or two things that you guys do with your outreach in the program.
We will go out to, like I said, all the provincial nursing stations, set up big outreaches, UCNs, wherever we see fit. What is really exciting is for our team and provincial wide is how the COVID dashboards were in our COVID work is what they're creating with our STI work. So don't know if you're aware, but our syphilis is quite alarming. So this will really shine light on all the work we really need to do.
It feels like that's one example of the fact that public health keeps chugging along. So COVID was the big, bright, exciting few moments, or this is when we were in the national and international spotlight. But there's still lots of work to do, and that certainly is only one very small part of all the work that you and the people that you work with do.
Yeah.
But we don't work all day long. You mentioned that you spent some time raising your kids. What are some of the things that you like to do when you're not in the office?
Well, I can't wait for the snow to melt so I can dig in my dirt in my huge garden I have. I live on acreage of 3.5 acres, so it's always very, very busy. I have a big pool, a hot tub. We like to camp. So yeah, summer is my glorious time.
I wish I could come live with the Mitchell family for the summers. That it sounds too good. And I got to give this little confession. I wouldn't call myself a mad gardener, but I like gardening. Every time I get down to the paw to see you guys, the gardens are just, it's just that much better. Like it doesn't feel like you're considerably further south, but it's, man, you guys got it good when it comes to gardening.
My husband makes the best salsa, so I will have a jar ready for you, Bruce.
I can't wait. Hey, thanks for talking to me today, Amber, about the job and about gardening, one of my other favorite topics.
Yes.
And hopefully I'll see you soon.
For sure. Take care.
It was nice to blow a little dust off the old headset and make some calls. Thanks to Aaron, Amber, and Robbie Lynn for picking up today, and of course our CEO, Helga Bryant. I'm Bruce Krentz. This is Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. I hope you'll join me again next time. And if you'd like me to give you a call, or if you have someone you think I should ring up, bkrentz@nrha.ca.